in our lungs. You guys could have a seat if you want. Do you believe that? I don't know, it just strikes me. I think we assume God. We take him for granted. We take the Lord Jesus for granted, but the scripture is pretty clear. Like, the whole reason all those epic end of the world movies aren't happening, meteors aren't hitting us, planets aren't colliding, it's the very power of God that does that, let alone gives us each heartbeat and each breath. And I think we forget how much control he has and that he is the King of all kings and the Lord of all small L lords. He's the one that tears down walls. I mean, it's awesome that people gave and we prayed and we were patient, but he tears that down. It's about him, and it's cool if God moves in your heart through a ministry, but it's about him that does the work. Let's pray. Lord, can a pastor say, I don't even know what to say? I mean, can the pastor say that? Can I say, I don't know what I'm doing, but you do? I don't know what you're up to, and I feel this pressure, like in myself and around me, that we have to somehow create some kind of box in which you operate, and that is just garbage. Like, you can't be caged. You can't be simplified in such a way that I can know what you're up to, that a simple man or woman, or even collectively, that we would know in whole what you're up to. And so I pray today that as we read through a part of Acts here, that you would reveal to us in part, I know it's the best we can handle right now, but in that part that you'd reveal to us what you're up to, that you would move in our hearts and in our lives and in our community, and that your name would be raised up high. That would be a powerful name, and not a historical name, but a current and alive and important name that matters, that creates life and freedom and good. A name that comforts when it's not going so well, and a name that gives hope. Please make it so, Lord. Amen. Thank you, guys. Hey, grab your Bible if you have one. If not, and you can read extremely small print, there should be one in the chair in front of you. So, exciting, exciting. Thank you, guys. Jimmy Uncaged, nice job. We're excited. What's that, you're trapped? Oh, we trapped Mark. Uncaged Jim and trapped Mark. So we're excited because we're going through the book of Acts. So if you're just joining us today, this is something that our church has been doing. We just felt this conviction, like, let's go through books of the Bible. Go through every verse, talk about it at least, and then see what the Holy Spirit does in that section of Scripture. So today, turn to Acts chapter 3. We're going to begin with verse 11. And as a friend of mine used to say, God willing and the creeks don't rise, we'll go from 11 all the way to 25. Acts 3. Verse 11 begins like this. Let me pause there for a minute. In case you weren't with us last week, here's a summary of what happened. So we got Peter and John. They're going towards the temple. So Jesus is on his throne in heaven, right? His disciples, his followers, stayed in Jerusalem. They were clothed with power on high. They were baptized by the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in foreign languages to all the foreign Jews that were visiting and proclaiming how good God was. And then Peter, who used to put his foot in his mouth, all of a sudden is like Billy Graham Jr., right? Like, he gives this message, and all these people, through the Holy Spirit, come to faith. Well, after that, they still are going to the temple and partaking in the and the rituals of prayer and the times of prayer. So Peter and John go in. There's this guy by the gate, and he's been lame since birth, and he's always asking for, you know, donations, whether it's food or finances. And this is what he does every day. Someone carries him, some people carry him there, and they leave him. So these guys come across him yet again, but this time something's different. And Peter stops and talks to the guy, says, "Look at me." And the man is healed. He gets up, he's jumping, he's all excited. Here we are, verse 11. While he, this is the guy that was just healed, that was lame from birth, clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people. "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and the God of our fathers glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate. When he had decided to release him, but you denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out. That times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers, and you shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaim these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness." Should I just keep reading? No. I know that's a lot to read. Maybe not the most familiar scripture, but pretty familiar, I think, to if you spent some time in churches. So let me just stop a second here, and if we kind of rewind, it said something, this portico called Solomon's. So apparently the people saw what had happened and heard, and they ran into this whatever portico called Solomon's. Well, you might see this, guys, depending on the translation of the Bible that you're using, could be called Solomon's porch, Solomon's portico, or Solomon's colonnade. What it was is it was a structure on the east side of the temple, and it was covered with a roof. And so it provided more protection from the weather than most of the courtyards. So it was basically a covered porch courtyard, right, which they created and named in honor of Solomon, who had the temple built when he was king over Israel. So that's kind of the scene, right? That's interesting and funny. It doesn't do anything for your heart, I know, but I want you to know, so that mystery debunked right there. So Peter says this. He says, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this?" Let me let you see into my heart for a minute as I come before the Lord as your pastor and I look through this scripture. I in no way want to be rebellious, but I don't want to jump into the conclusion that I know exactly what God is saying here. And so we come before him and we pray and we ask him, like, Lord, why do you want us to read this? There's a lot of history reading if you just want to read history, right? That's not what this is about. And you want to know interesting facts. Like, there's a lot of really cool things to read. So what's going on? Well, so you can see this, right? Picture this. These people in and around the temple were Jews. These were the same people, if you were to rewind into the Gospels, that Jesus came from, that said, no way, this guy is the Christ, the promised Messiah that our prophets talked about. He's lying. He's saying he's God's son, and we can't have that. The penalty for this is death. Kill him. And here we are. I don't know the time frame, but we're talking maybe a couple months, maybe a few months after Jesus is crucified, right there on the outside of town. They come in and they see this display of power. Because some of them who were devout, I mean, they were multiple times a day coming to the temple, and they walked by this guy by the gate, laying there, and probably often gave him food or money. They knew this guy, probably knew his family. And now all of a sudden he's jumping and dancing. That would be amazing. And they're at awe. And so they said, men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Well, here's why I wrote this down. I want to talk to you about it. Can we agree that we forget so quickly? It's as if these men are saying, Jesus walked amongst you. You know? Like, we're all witnesses. That guy you killed? Like, we saw him die? Some of you were there. Some of you spit on him. Some of you threw stuff at him. Some of you are exactly the same ones that yelled, crucify him. 3 months later, not even a summer vacation later, right? We're talking, now you're sitting here, whoa, what's this power about? Like, Jesus was here. He raised people from the dead. He fed 5,000 off of some kid's lunch, right? He does these things like, oh, geez, walks on water. We witnessed these things, and you're like, why are you looking at us like this is something new? And it's fun because I like to do this, right? It's easier. Oh, stupid disciples and Israelites, right? If they were as enlightened as us Americans now here in Prescott Valley. But I remember this. When I read this scripture, I could only imagine if we had the time in your life, man, that you saw things moved and aligned and transformed. And I'm aware because of our lack of faith, because of our crisis of belief, that the signs and wonders that God would do are not happening as much as they are. I believe that strongly. I'm hopeful that this is what the Lord is up to. This is the movement, if you will, of what the Lord is up to, is that he is growing the belief, because as we march on in days, we're going to need to have growing and increasing belief to stand against culture, to stand against the world and the movement that tries to suck us in. But the reason why I wanted to stop here for a second is that's me. Gosh, I can get so moody. Right, Brandy, I can be all drama, you know, right, all drama. Apparently at Trader Joe's, I got kind of excited about something, so kind of all drama. And that's one of those places you get all excited. But you just see the Lord moving, right? You see the Lord moving, and yet I become so unsteady like some boat, right? As Paul said, just going with the waves when the Lord has proven to me before how good he is. And just this morning that it hit me, and this isn't really the point of the sermon, but let me share this with you. If I can simply panic, if I would simply be unsteady, if I would simply worry and have anxiety, peace loses. Love loses. Light loses, and darkness wins. I don't have to do something overtly evil. And so these men in the spirit are like, come on, guys. Why does this surprise you? So I kind of hold on to that and say, wow, remember, Will, remember, people of God, what God has already done. Have faith in what he can do. And then they went on to give credit to where it's due. Because apparently you read, and guys, there's still these things today. I mean, we have to understand, if we're going to look at the world beyond the physical, into the spiritual, it's not all good. Am I right? I think what you see in the world is you see this battle of spiritual things you can't see. And this is what Paul warned us against. We're facing more than each other. It's not just us. It's not just us failing each other or hurting each other. But there is an epic battle at hand here between good and evil in the spiritual realm. And the things that come against you, yes, sometimes it's purely physical. But often it is people influenced by darkness, by evil. Well, now you, I don't know, Will, you're going, no, I'm not saying everything is. Sometimes you just need Tylenol when you got a headache, okay? Right? You don't just pray in six-pack abs. Sometimes you got to do sit-ups, okay? Over a long period of time. I tried. It doesn't work. Maybe I didn't have enough faith, Joe. I don't know, man. I don't know. So let's humble ourselves there and know that we often forget and we get worried and we get anxious and we get unsteadied. And so it's weird, but let's just do this. What if we prayed more than that at the beginning and the end of a sermon? Would you guys throw something at me if I did that? Let's just stop a second. Okay, Lord, I pause and I come to you and I humble myself because I'm aware that this isn't just them, this is me, that we often forget, we don't anticipate your goodness, we don't expect it, and we want to explain away the things that happen. And forgive us, and let us humble ourselves as you continue to teach us, Lord. And then I pray that. Okay, Lord. And then they continued on, guys. They're giving credit. And I didn't even say amen, but we're still kind of praying and teaching. It's going to be weird, so go with me, okay? So they're saying, what you guys saw here is this God that your mom and dad kept telling you about. And they use all these patriarchs, which in their culture were so important. And I don't know if it quite translates as much other than saying, you know, the God of the Bible. That's us, right? Most of the people that have been in America are aware of what the Bible is. Whether they've read it, know it, or believe it's different, but a majority of us have had some kind of exposure. Okay, there's Christians and there's a Bible. This Christian God, the one that's talked about in the Bible, he's the one that healed this guy. It was his belief, his faith in that God that healed him. Don't be confused. Peter and John, right, they're saying, don't be confused. We're not some sort of magic healer here. We didn't do a spell on him, nothing like that. This is God. Okay. And then they said this, because it's all about feel-good sermons with Peter and John right now. It said, this is Jesus, the one that you guys killed. But what you did is you said you asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and then you killed the author of life. I never caught this before. Yeah, they did. I know. They were like, yeah, crucify him. They killed Jesus. I get that. But as I'm praying about this, they asked for destruction. They said no to the path with life. Okay, well, I don't know. You're too many paint fumes for you. Let's just stop a second, okay? This is what we're doing, guys, and this is how this is us. You see, me, I keep running like a dog back to its own vomit to the vile, dead things because it's more comfortable for me. I don't know what to make of this Jesus, the author of life. And I tell you that just because you go to church doesn't mean you find life. Life comes in following Jesus and through the power of the Holy Spirit who helps you to follow Jesus, who transforms you, who changes your life in such a way that life is what you have. But beware, my friends, because you would prefer to take on death than this power of life. You choose the one who murders. I don't, but guys, here's what it is. It's like these addictive things that we do. And we want to like rate them, but there's this control and anger and fear and nervousness. Then there's things like drugs, alcohol, sexual sin, I don't know, shopping, you know, brushing your hair. I don't know what it is, But it's this pathway, guys. It's this artificial attempt to find life. Can we come together on that? Do you know that there's ways in which we try to find life where life isn't? It's easier to keep doing that. So if you're doing that, you're not alone. You don't know what you're signing up for, though, because that is the path towards destruction. What do you mean, Will? Like I'm going to lose my salvation, go to hell? That's not even what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is right now your life. If you get so stuck on these pathways that become habits to you, that are destructive to your soul, to your joy, to the Holy Spirit being alive and well and welling up in you, because if you're His and you have the Holy Spirit, it doesn't mean He's always in control. It takes surrender and submission, and then the Spirit leads. So you and I, just like them, this is what I'm saying as if I'm Peter and John to you guys. Like, listen, what's happened in your life already, it's because of God. But you, I know you because I am you. I am like you. I will choose, no, give me death because I'm more comfortable with that. Than this Jesus and what He's asking me to do, because if you guys follow Him, it's going to be weird. Your money's going to be different. How you handle your job. It's not this rules, guys. It's just not this rules. Like, you're not going to earn God. And here's what you keep telling me, Lord. And I want you guys to see it. Like, it's not even He's waiting for you to be good so He can bless you. That's not it. He never expected you to be good. Right? Your best is like menstrual rags, okay? This is not going to be good. Come sweep up after they paint. That is awesome. Praise God for you, but it's still not going to get God's favor. That's why Jesus, and He goes, guys, humble yourselves. Understand that if you're just going with it, if you're hearing me now, and you're like, I don't know, man, some of these things you're saying, well, I don't know if I'm willing to do that, or yeah, maybe church once every month. Right? Maybe church once every month, but this is our Father. This is God. This is the one that loves us. And we just have to be His and be close to Him. And then these things will stop. We have to choose life even though we're afraid and reject death. It's not just them, it's us, guys. It's us. I mean, I don't know. Busyness. Guys, I'm coaching soccer, you know, and it's like, that's a lot to do, and then you come here, but I love it, and I think God wants me to do it. But we have to just be so careful to follow the Lord. We have to keep asking the next question. Okay, Lord, this? Yeah? Okay, and this, yes, I want to follow you. I want to submit what I want. And then if I do where you do what you ask me to do, if I go where you're leading me, then you're going to bless it. If I go in my own power, at my own pace and speed, I'm going to be tired. I'm going to be worn out. You choose the one who murders, and you don't even know it. It's like them that, Barnabas, yeah, give us him. He'll kill your family. What do you, I don't care, just this Jesus guy. Some shut him up. Because he's telling me I'm a brood of vipers, and like I don't like that type of language, man. And like, I don't know, he's telling me all these things about myself and about my sin, and I just want him to go away because I got a thing that I'm doing, and it's working for me. You reject the one who gives life. And then they explain this, guys, another mystery. They said, and by his name, by faith in his name. What does that mean? I just wanted to add this because I saw this. Someone wrote about this. They said when they're saying this, it's less about the name of Jesus and more about the title of Christ. What does that mean? What was powerful in this man who was healed was his belief in who Jesus was and is. They knew he was the Christ, the promised Messiah, the Son of God, all power. And in that, he could rest and have confidence. Take my hand. The guy's like, sure. He gets up. He's healed. You and I, take my hand. No, dude. Are you like a back specialist or something that can give me surgery? You know, maybe some cortisone shots, some physical therapy for 7 to 8 years, and then maybe I can walk again, right? That's what we do. If he did that, he wouldn't have been healed. And so when you see this by his name, this idea that our translation is lost, because when it says Christ or when it says Jesus, we think it's like his last name, like it's by Smith. No, it's who he is. Why he came here is all in that word, and we lose that. And so what they're saying is, yeah, the healing was done, and you guys chose to turn that away for death, and you gave life, but look what life has come. You tried to kill it, and here's the good thing, guys. I tried to kill it. You tried to kill it. You tried to kill the power of God. I doubt any of you have chosen God every day, every moment since your birth. If you have, then maybe we're entertaining angels and we don't even know it, right? So that's cool. I'm glad you're here. Either that or you're a liar and you need to repent and turn yourself back to God. So I don't know, but I'm not the judge. I don't even want that job, you know. So whatever, wherever you're at, we're good, okay? But here's what's happening. Okay, Will, you're going crazy. I know. It's awesome, right? I told you we're chasing the wild goose here, and I'm tired of trying to wrangle him in. I simply want to know where he's at and go where he's doing. He's eating the newspaper. I'm eating the newspaper, okay? We're going to do this together, and you might not like it. That's cool, right? That's cool. We can. So it's as if John and Peter were here. It's like God sent them to us to say, guys, what you've seen already in your life, it's because of Jesus. And listen, you rejected him because it's like nuclear energy. It's hard to handle. You know what I mean? It's hard to handle. We're afraid. We want AA battery. That's about all we can handle. Even the 9-volt will shock you if you put it on your tongue. You got to be careful. You don't want this. Jesus, we can't handle. And so we reject him for the comfortable. And so it's as if, God, you are making us aware. And I think that's where it starts. It's we humble ourselves before you. We know. I know. Let me just make this personal. I know that even now, there's this tension between choosing that comfortable path that I could see or know or taste or smell or feel And I become so ignorant about where it leads, which is destruction, instead of the path that's a little bit scary that involves trust and faith and sometimes stopping, right? Which you tell me leads to life. And so your grace and your mercy, Lord, are as important as oxygen to me. Without it, I'm a goner. And so are you. And they said, yeah, you did this. You killed him. And guess what? It didn't work. He's back. That's what you just saw. He's back. Now it's worse. He's the Holy Spirit now. He sent the Holy Spirit. He's in all of us. Right? Yeah. Just wait till Philip baptizes a eunuch and then poof, right? Some sort of like hyperspeed. He's like, where'd he go? Holy Spirit can do amazing things. Right? No longer was it some Jesus guy who had all the power of God who was in the garden who you can go try to tie up if he lets you. Now you got all of us, buddy. Look what's going to happen. Lame people will walk and we're going to call you on your garbage. But see, here's the thing, I want to say this in unity, but I feel like right here, I kind of pull myself to like what I need to do, way to say, repent. And we should all just be crying on our knees and like, because it's true. Right? It's true. But the Bible said this, God's love leads us to repentance. So if I bully you and beat on you till you confess your sin and you come before God, I mean, I want you to do that, but you need to know. And this is what Peter and John did here. They said this next thing, they said, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. Guys, that's the good news, isn't it? The good news about now, which was different, is Jesus has come to redeem them. So no longer it's like a bigger part, a more complete part of the picture. What you and I are getting today, if you don't like what I'm saying, the best I can give you today is a peace. I cannot explain in 1 million settings, let alone one setting, the complete complexities of God in the Bible and everything that's in this scripture. The Holy Spirit could reveal new stuff to us about this same section of scripture for every day for the rest of our lives, and I believe that to be true. And they would probably circle back around, right, over time. We get a peace. And so here's the peace they're introducing that I think we forget because it is true we've sinned. What they're saying is, can we admit that we forget? Oh, why did this happen? And when we forget, we go back to the comfortable. We go back to our habits, our addiction, our fear-driven behaviors. And in turn, we reject Jesus. We reject his gift, right? I do that. Jeez, I did that I don't know how many times this week. Jesus paid it all, right? Like, yeah, I'm ashamed. Am I ashamed? Yeah, he died for that. Guilt, yeah, he died for that. If I sit in that guilt and I continue to pout, I'm taken out. I'm going to run back to that same habit. I'm going to choose evil and reject Jesus. But then they bring it down. Guys, I know that you acted in ignorance. You didn't know what you were doing. God knows the things that you did. You acted in ignorance. He says, so here's what you need to do. You're right, Peter. You're right, John. You're right, Lord. We acted in ignorance. Like, I can only see in physical terms, and so I often want to do the physical things to fix that. Like, maybe we can argue our point. Or maybe there's a pill that makes that better. Or maybe, you know, if we just did cleaned up first, then we would receive God's gift and blessing. We have to clean up, but we don't clean up to earn God's gift. He loves us, and because he loves us so much, we're free to reject things that destroy us. We keep Barnabas back in jail, man. Like, no, put him back. We want Jesus. So what do we do now, Lord? And he tells them, he says, repent, therefore, and turn back that your sins may be blotted out. I don't know, you guys do this, so you sin, right? What's sin? It has to do with missing the mark. It has to do with falling short of what God would have us do. And so the big ones are easy, right? We start hurting other people. That becomes easy. We start causing harm to ourselves. You can kind of see that that's a sin. And then there's some about motives and our attitudes that maybe are a little bit more gray, and we try to pretend they're not as bad, but they're still death. And I think we've got this. I think we've got this, that God will forgive us. Kind of. You know what we don't have? We don't have this blotted out thing. We have it like God's got this like safe where he's keeping this record of wrongs because this is how we treat each other. This is like our love. Love is sometimes patient. It can be kind of kind if you're nice to me. And yes, we do keep a record of all wrongs to be brought back against you at any time we choose. Right? This is not how love with God works. This word here that's translated blotted out, like this word, it has to do with to wipe out or away or obliterate. Like, what you did, Will, it's gone. I am not going to remember it anymore. Like, I'm not holding it against you, but here's what the enemy's going to do. He's still holding it against you. Until you stop doing that, you really don't get forgiveness. And then I was sitting with the Lord about that, and he's like, none of this is contingent on you being a good person, Will, or always doing what's right, right? Otherwise, why Jesus? Yeah, kill Jesus, give me Barnabas. It's easier to deal with, and I'll just behave better. I'll get a home security system, you know what I mean? And bring Barnabas out. He'll leave my family alone. No, that's what this is, guys. We've got to understand, we turn away, we repent, we change our mind, we go a different direction. We don't just say, okay, sin, oops. Sorry about that, God. Oops, sin. Sorry about that, God. Oops, sin. Sorry about that, God. Right? We just keep going and going and going, and that's not the point. But here's what happens. We sin. Oh, geez, sorry about that, God. And you really are repenting. You're like, turn me away. And then whatever this thirst that you had was being satisfied by this sin, it doesn't just automatically go away. It doesn't automatically go away. And so the trick of our world of darkness, of those principalities that work against us, is to remind us as we turn away, as we repent, we change our mind, we go here, but we believe God's still upset with us because we did that. We believe we got kind of half forgiveness. We believe he's not going to give us the replacement for that, which is life. That is death. This is life. We believe he won't, so we white-knuckle it for maybe an hour, maybe a week, depending on what it is, right? He's already mad at me anyway. I'm going to have to go like 45 days without that sin before God's going to like clear my slate and feed me and give me the drink I need. And so what do we do? In weakness, we go back and we do it again. Oh, I feel so guilty. This wasn't life. Actually, it's bitter. I'm still thirsty. And we set it down and we go back here and we say, okay, I'm repentant. God, help me. I don't know exactly how to do this better other than I'm convinced of this. When we turn away from our sin, yes, we confess that we've sinned. Yes, we come before the Lord and we ask him to change our hearts and our minds so that we don't want to do that. And we ask him, whatever it is, God, if it is loneliness, if it is pain, whatever it is I'm feeding with that sin, would you replace that, God, with life, with wholeness, with true love, with true peace? Not fake peace that I think is going to come from this that never does. But we've got to know when we turn that we're forgiven, that our sins have been obliterated. Only in that could we ever do this next part, which is turning every one of you from your wickedness. Turning every one of you from your wickedness. Let me be honest with you. I mean, we all want to say we know what true repentance looks like, right? It's somewhere, but it's more than saying, sorry, God, right? Like, we know that. You can't just be like, oh, sorry, God. I feel really bad about this. Right? Or the blindness that we have. I have to have this. This is just me. Like, I'm not going to change, right? This is just part of me that's unfinished, and in God's grace, I mean, it is sufficient enough. But I can tell you, if God's asking you to hand something over and you don't, what you're doing is creating a piece of destruction in your life. Although your soul may be saved, your life will still be tormented. Can we understand that? It's not an all or nothing. Like, some people, and a lot of people, I believe, okay, this is not purely on the scriptures, but I think some people, when we get to heaven, are going to realize we missed out on a lot of life. Because we were afraid. So, you don't only repent once and then get baptized. You're going to have to repent again. You're going to fall back into something. I pray you don't, but you're going to miss the mark again. And repentance is going to be a lifestyle for you as a Christian. Surrender, submission is going to be a lifestyle. It's something you're going to do often, probably more than brushing your teeth. Right? So, what I want, if we would come together as God's people with humble and open hearts before him, to be honest, and if we in our churches could talk like that and be honest, this is what I want to do here, is I want to be that honest so that you and I can say, I don't know exactly, but let's figure this out together, guys. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to show us about true repentance, because there's things in my life that I don't want to be about anymore. You know, like, even this morning, I caught myself all rattled, and I had to, like, steady me, Lord. They changed my first name to pastor, and I still can't get it right, okay? Like, I get upset, I get anxious, you know? I'm not a perfect husband or dad or anything. But I long to be more and more surrendered to God, and whenever I see wickedness, whenever I see this world have me in its clutches, whenever I can identify these things I keep going to, whether it's worry or fear or addiction that people have, in order to make life work, then my wife is always good to ask me that good Dr. Phil question, how's that working for you, right? Like I said, she's wisdom in my life. But it's that I grab that sin and I do that, whatever it is, control, worry. And we're comfortable with those. We don't want to talk about sex and drugs. Okay? But we'll talk about control. But we got those too. And we drink of this thing and then we're like, I'm still thirsty. It didn't work. It doesn't, right? How is it working for you? It's just not. So God, no, like, I need you, Lord, to help me. Like, I know I don't want that. Help me to hate that sin, to see it, to turn from it, to repent, to really change my mind, change my thinking, change my behaviors. But it's him. This is what we miss, guys. This is what we miss. That's why I keep talking about the Holy Spirit every week. And everyone's like, what are you talking about? What are you going to do? No. Living a life in the Spirit submitted to God. Because if I do this, I'm going to get thirsty. If I just walk away, I'm going to get thirsty again. Which is why Jesus was always like, I am the living water. Those who drink from me will never be thirsty again, right? So whether it's pain that needs to be managed, whether it's loneliness that needs to be met, or anger that needs to come out, there's a different way of doing it. There's a way that leads to life. There's a way that leads to life. And so, Lord, we're here before you, Lord, and we know we do this. We've gotten comfortable with things. And we've learned you somehow to be an add-on to what we're already doing. I think we were taught that life happens outside of you and salvation is your business. This is not true. You are the God who comes in, takes and makes a home in us and obliterates not only our sin but our flesh. And to follow you, we're going to have to turn away and change our mind about the shortcuts we've been trying to take. But we're not going to make it unless we submit to the power of the Holy Spirit to help us turn every one of us from wickedness. And then the promise is this, guys, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So I'd like the worship team to come back up. I like to do more than talk about it. I'm tired of talking about stuff and doing nothing. Are you guys? I believe that the Bible is true and real. I don't believe it was just written so that we would read what happened and say, wow, that was awesome. Wish I could have seen that. Right? You know the pastor, Francis Chan? You guys ever listen to him? I don't know if this is okay, but anyway, I'll mention him. But he said this. He thought about this. He goes, I told my daughter, clean your room. So she goes, okay. And he goes, this is how Christians would take it. So the next day, he looks at a room. It's not clean. And he asks her, and he says, I told you to clean your room. She goes, yeah, about that. I thought that was pretty fascinating. So I just stayed up last night, and I kind of thought, I wonder what that would be like if I cleaned my room. Just clean your room. Okay, Dad. The next day comes back. And I'm kind of paraphrasing and changing, but and then the next day comes back. Honey, you didn't clean your room. I know, Dad. It was like, you know, I was talking to you yesterday. So last night, I got some friends together, and we all started talking. What would that be like if we cleaned our rooms? She goes, but then it was even better than that. We started thinking, okay, what's the Greek and Hebrew for clean your room? Right? And it all starts such a point. He's like, I just want her to clean her room. But this is what we're doing. We want to talk about that. Could we really repent? Could we really change? Could you really submit yourself to the Holy Spirit even though you're scared? Could you choose life instead of death? I want you to submit yourself to God. I want you to try it. I want you to surrender and watch what happens. Like, I want a year from now, I just want you guys just to say, I don't even remember who I used to be because God's got a hold of me, the Holy Spirit is in control, and when I make a mistake, I come before him, I repent, I drop what I was doing, I go away from it, and then over here, when I get here, the Holy Spirit is here already. I'm not thirsty, I'm not struggling with that anymore. He's helping me, he's giving me life, there's acceptance and joy and peace and love. We should do it. What if someone was sick, we actually prayed for them? Not because you're a miraculous healer, but because God is. What if we asked him what we were supposed to pray about instead of praying what we think we should pray? So here's what I want to do. We've done this a couple times the next week, but I'm going to ask them to play music. And I want to pray. And I want to invite you, because there's something really powerful in this. The Lord revealed to me this truth that we're choosing death and destruction because we forget how awesome God is. And because we're afraid to open ourselves up to the author and creator of life. And not an intellectual knowing, but a spiritual, a heartfelt knowing. So I'd like us to focus. I'd like us to have time. And what I'm going to do is I want to pray that the Lord would lead us, that the Holy Spirit would be given permission in each one of us to reveal that in which God's working on in us. And that we could come before our Lord, our God, our Maker, the pathway of life. We could lay that down. And instead to just be in his presence and have a time of refreshing and feel his love. So that way when you leave, you don't pick up that which you just laid down. Does that make sense? I got to stop doing this. So you come to church, right? You've done this before. There's been a cross or a paper, or there's all these cool things we can do. We can burn letters. We can do all these cool things. But when you walk away from here, if you don't submit yourself to the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, to curb your hunger for the sin that you just laid down, you will pick it back up. And I don't want to just keep talking about it and manipulating you into feeling bad. Like, I don't get excited when everyone's crying all the time, okay? I like to. It's not the goal here. It's that God would be glorified, that you and I would be transformed. So let's go lights down. Let's play. Lord, I thank you for caring enough about us, for loving us so much, showing it. I come before you not as a master of life that knows what to do with everything, but as your son. And I just surrender my will right now, Lord, and I ask for yours. My heart is to see more of you, to know more of you. And Father, your love is so great and your power is so wonderful. And I'm tired of our lives looking like it isn't. Like we need you. We want to pursue you. Look to you. I don't really know what to pray, God. It would just be my will. But I say this, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Speak to me. You are welcome. I ask you, Holy Spirit alive in me, that you would well up inside of me, that you'd push out all the garbage, like my own voice that condemns and accuses, the voice of the enemy wanting to tear us down, that we can't do this, that it's not true, that we should be afraid. Push all it out, all the garbage, all the sin, God, and that you would pull from the center of us, Lord, the truth about who you are, the truth about what you're asking us to do and where you're asking us to change, because you are a God who doesn't change, but you want your people to be transformed to become like you. So Lord, I ask you to speak to your sons and daughters here, your people. And maybe somebody's really listening for you for the first time. It might be. That you would speak to them. Father God, what is it that you're asking us to lay down?